He... Griff? It's Griffin. As her heart took a hard bump, she grabbed her father's hands. He'd stay steady, she knew, no matter what. If it was Clay or Forrest, Mom would be a mess. What happened to Griff?
He got a little banged up, is all. It's nothing serious, Shelby. You know I'd tell you if it were. Somebody ran his truck off the road and into the big oak on Black Bear Road last night.
Banged up how? Who did it? Why?
Sit down. Take a breath.
Turning, Clayton opened the refrigerator, took out a Coke.
He's got some abrasions from the seatbelt, the airbag, and got a pretty good knock on the head. Emma Kate took him into the clinic last night, gave him a going over, and I'm going to do the same myself later this morning. But if Emma Kate said he didn't need a doctor or the hospital, we can trust that.
All right, I will. But I want to see for myself, too.
You can do that, he continued in his calm way, after you take that breath.
It must have happened when he was driving home from here. He wouldn't have been on the road if he hadn't insisted on following me back here, making sure I got home all right. I want to go over and see for myself if you could keep Callie.
Don't worry about Callie. He's not out at the house. He stayed the night at Emma Kate's as she wouldn't have him stay on his own.
Good. She did manage that breath now. That's good.
But I expect he's on his way to the police station by now. Forrest and Nobby, you remember my second cousin Nobby, they went down the holler last night and brought Arlo Cattery in.
Arlo? He ran Griff off the road? She pressed her fingers to her eyes. Drunk, I expect, and driving crazy.
I don't know as that's the way it was. You go on down. It's best you hear it straight out than the bits and pieces I have. And you tell Griffin he's got an exam at 10 o'clock or he's not clear to drive or so much as touch a power tool.
I will. Callie,
she's just fine. Go on.
Thank you, Daddy.
When she ran out, leaving the Coke unopened on the counter, Clayton knew his little girl was at least halfway in love. With a sigh, he picked up the can, opened it for himself. It was smarter than a shot of whiskey at 7:30 in the morning. Griff strode into the station house, eyes, including the left one, where angry bruising had come to the surface overnight. Hot. He arrowed straight to Forrest.
I want to talk to the son of a bitch.
Forrest stopped tapping at his keyboard, pulled the phone from between his shoulder and ear.
I'll get back to you,
he said, and clicked off.
You'd best simmer down some first.
I'm not in a simmer down mood. I don't even know Arlo Cattery, never spoke a word to him in my life. I want to know why he deliberately ran me off the road.
Forrest?
The sheriff spoke up from his office doorway.
Why don't you go ahead, let Griff go back and have his say,
he said when Forrest hesitated.
In his place, I'd want mine. All right, thanks. Nobby, you think you could call back that fella at the lab, finish that conversation?
I sure can. That eye doesn't look too bad there, Griff.
Nobby, a 20-year vet, gave Griff's face a considering look.
Seen a lot worse. You get some raw red meat on it, won't be so bad.
I'll do that.
As Griff turned toward the back, Shelby came flying in.
Oh, Griff!
Now, Shelby, honey, I was just telling him it wasn't that bad.
It's not.
Griff picked up Nobby's theme and ran with it.
I'm okay. It doesn't hurt.
Ached like a son of a bitch, but didn't hurt.
Daddy said it was Arlo Cattery. I don't know why the man has a license if he's still driving drunk like he did when we were teenagers.
We don't know as he was drunk when he ran Griff off the road.
He must have been. Why else would he do something like this?
Forrest exchanged a look with the sheriff. Nodded slightly.
Why don't we go back and ask him? He was half drunk when Nobby and I went and got him and tried to say he'd been home all night. The plow was still on his truck. Arlo gets paid to plow some of the private roads outside of town,
he explained to Griff.
Hardly much reason for a snowplow on his truck in May. White paint on it, too. and yellow paint like the plow on the back of Griff's truck. Nobby and I informed him of those facts, so he claimed somebody stole his truck, put the plow on it. Bullshit.
Knee-deep in it,
Forrest said with a nod to Griff.
Not too much use arguing with a man half-drunk and chasing his tequila with a joint, so we just hauled him in. And we left him last night to sleep on the fact we'd be charging him with attempted murder this morning.
Oh, my God. Shelby shut her eyes.
That's the reaction we want from him. Attempted murder's a stretch,
Forrest commented, hooking his thumbs in his belt.
But he'll surely go down for hit and run, reckless endangerment, and so on. We can tie quite a few and-so-ons onto the package,
Hartigan said.
Yeah, I expect so. He's going to do a few years, however it slices out. We've just been letting it sink in. The sheriff here, if I'm reading him correctly, thinks what's sunk in may come rising up if he's faced with the pair of you. That's a fine read, deputy. All right, then. Let's see what we see. Y'all don't mention lawyer, all right? He hasn't gotten there yet in his pea brain.
Forrest led the way back through a steel door to the three cells. In the center one, Arlo Cattery sprawled on a bunk. She'd gotten a look at him that night at Bootlegger's, him and his pale-eyed stare. What she saw now didn't look much different than the last time she'd seen him in full light years before. Straw-colored hair shorn short, face grisly with the pale blonde scruff. Those small snake eyes, closed now, long neck with a tattoo of barbed wire circling it. On the short side and stocky, with scarred knuckles from countless fights, most of which he'd instigated. Forrest let out a shrill whistle that made her jump and had Arlo's eyes popping open.
Wake up, darling. You've got company.
Eyes so pale blue they seemed almost colorless, skimmed over Griff, landed on her, slanted away again.
Didn't ask for no company. You best let me out of here, Pomeroy, or your ass is in the fire.
Looks to me like it's your ass smoking, Arlo. All Griff wants to know, and it's a reasonable request, is why you rammed his truck and forced him into that old oak tree.
Wasn't me. Told you that already.
Half-ton Chevy pickup, dark red, yellow plow on the front, bumper sticker on the bottom left of the tailgate.
Griff stared at him while he spoke, saw Arlo's jaw twitch.
Plenty fit that bill around here.
Nope, not with the details. Funny bumper sticker, too. It's got a target on it full of bullet holes, and it says, "If you can read this, you're in range."
Forrest shook his head.
That's sure a knee slapper, Arlo. Add that paint transfer, and it's all wrapped up. Nobby's out there right now talking to those forensic people over in the lab. Might take a little time, but they can match that yellow paint to your plow, that white paint to Griff's truck.
That lab stuff is bullshit. More bullshit like all the rest of this.
Juries sit store by it, especially in capital cases, like attempted murder.
I didn't kill nobody.
Arlo surged up now.
He's standing right there, isn't he?
That's where the attempted comes in, Arlo. Tried and failed.
I wasn't trying to kill nobody.
Huh.
Forrest nodded as if considering that, then shook his head.
Nope. Don't see a jury buying that one. See, we do what we call accident reconstructions. And it's going to show that you deliberately and repeatedly rammed Griff's truck. Took some skill, so you won't be able to try for diminished capacity, saying you were drunk. That wouldn't buy you much time off anyway. I figure you're going down for about 20 here.
No fucking way!
Every fucking way,
Griff disagreed.
Forrest, hum a tune and close your ears while I tell this asshole I'll swear on a mountain of Bibles in front of God and country that I saw him behind the wheel. I'll swear I counted the bullet holes in that idiotic bumper sticker and got his license plate.
That's a fucking lie. I had the plates covered with burlap.
You truly are a moron, Arlo,
Forrest murmured.
He's a fucking liar.
Incensed, Arlo jabbed a finger between the bars.
He's fucking lying.
You tried to kill me, Griff reminded him.
I didn't try to kill nobody. It wasn't even supposed to be you. It was supposed to be her.
You want to say that again, son?
Forrest's voice was quiet as the hiss of a snake, but Griff had already shoved forward, reached through the bars to grab Arlo's shirt, yanked him so his head smacked the bars.
Now, Griff, I can't let you do that.
But Forrest made no move to stop him as Griff repeated the action.
All right, that'll do. For now.
Forrest gripped Griff's shoulder.
We don't want him getting off on some technicality, do we? Step back now.
Why? Shelby hadn't moved. Not at the words. Not at the vicious look Arlo had given her when he said them. Not at the sudden violence.
Why would you want to hurt me? I've never done anything to you.
I always thought you were too good for me, looking down your nose and turning your back to me. Ran off with the first rich guy you could rope in, didn't you? Heard that didn't work out so well.
You'd have hurt me because I wouldn't go out with you back in high school? I've got a child. I've got a little girl, and I'm her only parent now. You'd have risked making my baby an orphan because I wouldn't go out with you?
Wasn't going to make nobody no orphan. Just going to scare you is all. I was only going to teach you a lesson, put a scare into you. Wasn't my idea anyway.
Whose idea was it, Arlo?
For the first time, a hint of canniness came into Arlo's eyes. He shifted them from Forrest, back to Shelby, back to Forrest.
I got things I could say, but I want that immunization thing. I don't do no 20 years for what wasn't my idea.
You give me a name, I'll consider that. You don't. I'm going to push for 25.
That's my sister, you idiot fuck.
One thing you should know about right enough is family. You tell me who started this ball rolling, or I'll make sure you go down for all of it, and hard.
I gotta have some guarantee.
You get nothing. He'll get more than nothing, Griff said. I'll find a way to get to you. I'll find a way. And when I do, you'll wish you'd had a chance to do 20 years.
I never touched her, did I? Never laid a goddamn hand on her. Just gonna scare her some anyway. She gave me $1,000. Said she'd give me 1,000 more after I gave you a good scare. Taught you a good lesson. Just gonna give you a nudge off the road is all. But you passed me going the other way. By the time I got turned around and going, I seen you head down to the old Triple Horn place.
You followed me?
I had to wait, figured fine. I'd teach you that lesson you had coming when you drove out again. Better when it was dark, right? But then he drives out behind you and I couldn't get to you. Didn't see why I should have wasted my whole night for nothing. Figured pushing him off would give you a scare. Northern boys, they're good enough for you, looks like. You jumped right in the sack with this one, but you never would give me so much as a long look. I seen him take your clothes off.
You were watching.
Too angry to be sickened, Shelby stepped closer. She knew just who'd paid him.
Did Melody Bunker tell you to spy on me, too?
She gave me $1,000, said I'd get another. Didn't tell me how to go about it, just to get it done. Miss High and Might is real peeved at you, real peeved. She come right to my trailer in the holler, give me cash money. That's how peeved she is, you got her kicked out of the beauty salon.
I hope you got a good look, Arlo. And you take that with you to Bledsoe County and the sale you'll be occupying there. And when you do, you think about this, Arlo. I never thought along the lines of being too good for you. I just didn't like you.
She turned, started out. Forrest signaled for Griff to go with her.
Hold on, Red.
I can't hold on. I can barely breathe. I swear if you hadn't wrapped his head, I'd have done it myself. He went after you because he couldn't get to me quick enough. He could have killed you.
He didn't.
If you hadn't followed me home.
I did.
He took her by the shoulders. He didn't want the what-ifs playing in her mind, or his, not then and there.
He's locked up, Shelby. He'll stay that way.
All this because Melody got her pride handed to her, and got it handed to her because she earned it. She knows full well what he might have done. She gave him money and an excuse to do it.
I'd lay odds before the morning's up. She's in a cell right along with him.
Those are good odds,
Forrest said as he came out.
Just hold on a minute.
Nobby, you think you could sit with that moron Arlo for a bit? I got him writing it all out.
Sure can. He confess?
And then some. Sheriff, I need to run this by you, and then we're going to need a warrant. That's going to be pretty sticky, as we're going to need it for Melody Bunker, for soliciting a crime, conspiracy to do bodily harm.
Well, hell, Forrest.
On a long, windy sigh, Hartigan rubbed the back of his neck.
Are you damn sure on it?
I'll tell you how Arlo says it went.
He wasn't lying, Griff put in. He didn't pull her name out of his ass. She gave him money for it, and he probably didn't have a chance to spend it yet.
We'll be going out to his trailer,
Forrest began, then glanced around.
Where's Shelby?
She was right here.
Oh, hell. Oh, hell no. Melody.
My sister's got a hell of a temper if you flip the right switch.
Sheriff,
Forrest said, as Griff was already bolting out the door.
Yeah, go on with him. Just what we need to tie a ribbon on this day. Your sister tossing Florence Piedmont's granddaughter out some window.
She didn't plan on tossing Melody out a window, primarily because she hadn't thought of it. She didn't have a clear idea what she intended to do, but the one thing she was clear on, she didn't intend to do nothing. Ignoring the bitch hadn't worked, sarcasm hadn't worked, straight talk hadn't worked. So she'd find something that did, and finish this off once and for all. The Piedmont house sat on a long, sloping rise of lush green, with terraced walls of white brick showing off a bounty of graceful trees, perfectly trimmed shrubs. From its vantage, it could look down at the ridge, out at the hills, down into folds of valleys. It stood elegantly, as it had since before the war between the states, laced with verandas flowing out from the snow-white facade. Gardens swept along its feet in rivers of color. It was a house she'd always admired. Now, she shot toward it like an arrow from a bow. She knew Melody lived in the carriage house, aimed for it once she'd crested the rise. Ears buzzing with temper, she slammed out of the van, strode past Melody's car, and would have marched straight to the door if someone hadn't hailed her.
Why, it's Shelby Ann Pomeroy.
She recognized the housekeeper, a longtime member of the big house, and Maybelline's sister, and struggled to rein in her fury enough to smile in return.
It's wonderful to see you, Miss Patty. How is everything for you?
It's just fine.
The woman, tall, thin, her salt-and-pepper hair in a tidy and tight cap of curls, walked over. She carried a basket half full of early roses.
Such a pretty spring we're having this year, even if the heat's already starting to rise. I'm so glad you're back home to enjoy it. I am sorry about your husband.
Thank you.
Miss Patty, I really need to speak to Melody. Why, she's having breakfast on the back veranda with Mrs. Piedmont and Miss Jolene. I expect this has something to do with the trouble at Miss Vi's. I got an earful on it from Maybelline, and Laurelie, too.
Yes, it's something like that.
Then you go right around. I hope you girls can settle this.
Settling it's why I'm here.
Thank you.
She let the fury come back, bubble up as she took the walkway, crossed the velvety green lawn, as she heard female voices and smelled those early roses. And there was Melody, sitting at a table draped with white, decked with pretty china and juices sparkling in glass pitchers.
I am not going to apologize, Grandmama, so there's no point handing me on it. I didn't say a thing that wasn't true, and I won't lower myself to crawl into those people just so Jolene can have her trashy hairdresser back. Crystal isn't trashy, Melody, and we shouldn't have... You just stop it, Jolene, and stop that whining, too. I'm sick to death of it. If anything, that little slut and her interfering grandmother should...
She spotted Shelby, pushed to her feet as Shelby came up the slope like a highballing train. Melody's eyes widened as she saw Forrest and Griff running full out behind her.
You get out of here. You're not welcome here.
I say who's welcome here, Florence said in a snap.
If she is, I'm not.
Melody started to turn away, but Shelby grabbed her arm, spun her around.
You paid him. You paid Arlo Cattery to try to hurt me.
Get your hand off me. I don't know what you're talking about. You're a liar on top of it.
Before she knew it was her clear intention, Shelby bunched a hand into a fist and used it. She heard shouting through the buzzing in her ears, saw through the red mist that blurred her vision, Melody's eyes go glassy. The next thing she knew, someone clamped her arms down from the back, lifted her off her feet. She kicked out because she wasn't done. She wasn't nearly done, but the arms only tightened.
Stop it. Come on, Red. Pull it in now. You gave her a good shot.
It's not enough. It's not enough for what she did.
Melody sat on her ass where she'd gone down on the graceful veranda.
She hit me. Y'all saw how she attacked me.
Sobbing, she held a hand to her jaw.
I want to press charges.
Fine,
Forrest told her.
I think the ones against you are going to be a lot weightier.
I didn't do anything. I don't know what she's talking about. Grandmama, it hurts.
Jolene, stop waving your hands around like you're going to take flight and go get an ice pack.
Florence, who'd gotten to her feet, sat again heavily.
I need an explanation. I need to know why this girl would come here with these wild accusations and strike my granddaughter.
I'll say it, Shelby said before Forrest could. Let me go, Griffin. I won't do anything.
I apologize to you, Mrs. Piedmont. Not to her, but to you. I apologize. This is your home, and I should never have come here this way. I was too mad to think straight.
Grandmama, make her go away. She belongs in jail.
Be quiet now, Melody. It'll only hurt to talk. Why did you come here like this?
Because she went a lot further than saying ugly things, or slashing tires, or making up lies. This time, she paid Arlo Cattery $1,000 and promised $1,000 if he put a scare into me. If he taught me a lesson. I never did any such thing. Why, I wouldn't lower myself to speak to Arlo Cattery or any of his kin. He's a liar, and so are you.
I said be quiet, Melody Louisa. Why would you say Melody did this?
Because Arlo ran Griffin off the road last night, wrecked his truck. Look at him, Mrs. Piedmont. He's hurt because he made sure I got home safe, and because he did, Arlo couldn't get to me and do what she'd paid him to do. He got to Griff instead. She went down to the holler, down to Arlo's trailer, and paid him to do it.
She's crazy, a liar. Oh my God!
Jolene stood just outside the French doors, a blue ice pack in her hand.
Oh, my God, Melody! I didn't think you meant it. I never thought you meant it.
You shut up, you hear. Don't you dare say another word, Jolene, not one more word.
I won't shut up. I won't. My God, Melody, this isn't just playing, just gossip or poking some fun. I didn't think she meant it. I swear to God, I never thought she meant it.
You hold your tongue, Melody. Meant what, Jolene?
Florence demanded.
Stop blubbering now and say it straight out.
She said, after Miss Vi banned us, she said she knew how to get back at Shelby. She knew how to teach her a lesson she wouldn't forget, and how Arlo would likely do it for free, but she'd sweeten that pot.
Liar!
Scrambling up, Melody launched herself at Jolene, fingers curled to scratch. She might have done considerable damage if Jolene, in shocked defense, hadn't thrown the ice bag at her. The lucky shot knocked Melody back a step and gave Forrest time to pull her back.
You'd best listen to your grandmama and hold your tongue. Jolene, let's hear the rest.
What is wrong with you? What is the matter with you, Melody? I just don't know.
You'd better shut your mouth, Jolene, or you'll be sorry.
Jolene!
Florence's voice cut through Jolene's fresh weeping.
You tell Deputy Pomeroy the rest of what you know, and right now. If you don't be quiet, Melody, I swear to God Almighty, I'll slap you myself.
Oh, Miss Florence, I told what she said, and I promise, I swear, I didn't believe she meant to do anything. I was so upset and crying, and I just said to stop it, Melody. And I went on about who was going to do my hair for the wedding, because Crystal, she knows just how I want it done, and it's my wedding day, Miss Florence. I just was so upset, and Melody didn't say any more. But she'd said what I told you. I didn't think she could.
You traitorous bitch. She was part of it.
Melody threw out a hand, pointed.
She was part of it.
I wasn't, but maybe you can't believe that, Shelby, since I've been part of things. But never to really hurt somebody. I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of all of it.
She sat, began to weep into her hands.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Piedmont, but I'm going to have to take these ladies into the station house and sort this out.
Her back straight as a poker, Florence nodded.
Yes, I can see that. Jolene, you stop that crying now and go on with Deputy Pomeroy. Melody, go with the deputy.
I don't want to go with him. It's all just some story that lowlife made up, and Jolene's lying. She's just lying.
I'm not lying.
And that started the two of them shouting at each other until Forrest broke in.
I'd advise the two of you to be quiet. Melody, you can come along on your own, or I'm going to haul you.
You take your hands off me this minute.
The threat had her struggling against his hold.
I don't go anywhere I don't want to go.
And her grandmother surged to her feet.
Melody Louisa Bunker,
if you don't go along with Deputy Pomeroy and stop resisting, you have my oath. I'll do nothing to help you. I'll make certain your mama doesn't do a thing to help you.
You don't mean that.
By God, I do. You go with Forrest, and you go now, or I'll wash my hands of it, and you.
I'll go. But now I know you're just as hateful as the rest.
I'll take Melody,
Forrest said to Griff.
Best if you take Shelby and Jolene. You're still deputized. Hell. All right. Jolene?
I'm coming. I won't give you any trouble. Shelby, I'm so sorry about all this. I'm just...
It's probably best, too, if everybody stays quiet on the ride in,
Griff suggested, and got an easy smile from Forrest.
Like I said, you ever want a career change? Melody, you walk to my cruiser under your own power, or I'll cuff you.
Oh, I'm coming. You'll be out of a job before this day's over. I'm going to make sure of it.
Before he led Melody away, Forrest glanced at Florence.
I'm sorry about this, Mrs. Piedmont. I'm sorry for this trouble for you and your family.
I know it.
When she looked at Griff, there might have been a gleam of tears in her eyes, but her back remained poker straight.
I'm more sorry about this than I can say.
19. Jolene wasn't quiet on the ride in, but cried in wild, gulping sobs all the way. With ears ringing, Griff decided all he really wanted in the world at that moment was to get back to work and sanity. The only route he saw there was herding Shelby and Jolene into the station house. Sheriff Hartigan looked at Griff, at the two women, Shelby, eyes hot. Jolene, eyes spewing tears. Stepping forward, he dug a large white handkerchief out of his pocket, pushed it into Jolene's hands. He said in a tone that miraculously blended cheer and sympathy,
"Well, now, what's all this?"
"Forrest is right behind us," Griff began.
"I'm probably under arrest." After slapping her hands on her hips, Shelby looked directly, defiantly into Hartigan's eyes.
"I punched Melody Bunker in the face."
"Hmm,"
was Hartigan's response before he focused on Jolene.
"I didn't know she meant to do it."
Hysteria bubbled up through the hitching sobs.
"I swear, I didn't. I thought she was just being mad and saying things. I didn't think she meant to really get Arlo to scare Shelby or hurt her. I swear, I'm that upset about all of it."
"I can see that. Why don't you come on in and tell me about it? You got her?"
he said to Griff, arched his eyebrows at Shelby.
"I guess."
"Deputized?" Shelby gave him one hard look as Hartigan led Jolene into his office.
"That's just Forrest being Forrest."
But he was relieved when Forrest himself walked in with a cold-eyed Melody.
"Jolene?" "Sheriff's talking to her." "Good enough. You got her?"
At the repeated question, Griff winced.
"Yeah, yeah."
Forrest escorted Melody into the back break room, walked out again.
"Nobby, I need you to sit on her for a couple minutes while I sort some of this out." "No problem there."
When Forrest turned to his sister, she held out her hands, wrists together.
"Stop that shit."
"Maybe you want your deputy to do it."
When she turned with the same gesture to Griff, he just took her face in his hands.
"Cut it out. Now."
She bristled a moment, but he didn't let go, kept his eyes level on hers until she hissed out a breath.
"I'm not mad at either of you. Too much. And I'm sick about what happened to you, Griff. I'm just all around mad. Am I under arrest?"
"It's not going to come to that,"
Forrest said.
"Even if she pushes it, she's in a hell of a lot more trouble. She earned the punch."
"She surely did."
"Hell of a right cross you got there, Red."
"Thank you. Clay taught me, but it's the first time I actually put it into practice. What do I do now?"
"You leave this to me and the sheriff, like you should have before you stormed the damn castle. Not that I'm ever going to blame you for the punch. And go on to work or home or whatever business you got going."
"I can just go?"
"That's right. And if she pushes the assault charge, we'll deal with it. But I believe she's going to be persuaded to let that alone."
"All right."
She could hardly stay mad at her brother if he wasn't going to arrest her.
"I'm sorry for my part in this morning."
"No, you're not."
"No, I'm not. Not yet, but I might work around to it."
She walked out, paused when Griff walked out with her.
"None of this was my fault, and I'm pretty sick at taking responsibility for what I didn't do, but..."
"There's no but,"
he interrupted. She shook her head.
"But there's no question I brought you trouble. I wouldn't blame you for stepping back. I'll be sorry and disappointed if you do, but I wouldn't blame you."
His answer was to take her face in his hands again, and this time to take her mouth as well. Long, serious, and slow.
"That should settle that. I'm going to go see your dad now so I can get cleared and get the hell back to work."
She smiled a little.
"That black eye looks kinda rakish."
"Just what I was going for. I'll see you later. It's been a hell of an interesting morning so far."
She supposed he could put it that way, she thought, as she walked to the salon. But she'd dearly love a couple of boring mornings. She figured word of some of the interesting morning and the incident the night before that had generated it would have reached the salon by now. The way conversation stopped, eyes turned to her when she walked in, told her she'd gauged correctly.
"How is that boy? How bad's he hurt?"
Viola demanded.
"He's going to see Daddy now, but I don't think it's too awful. He's got cuts and bruises."
"I heard they hauled Arlo Cattery in for hit and run,"
Crystal put in. And Laurelie here saw you driving hell-bent toward the big house a little while ago.
You might as well say what Melody's got to do with all this, Viola told her. Everybody's going to find out anyway.
She paid him. She paid Arlo to do it. After the collective gasp, Shelby dropped into a chair. She was early for work anyway, and God, interesting mornings were exhausting.
Wait 1 minute.
Eyes narrowed. Viola swiveled the chair so Shelby faced her.
You're saying Melody paid that Cattery boy to run Griffin Lot off the road? Why in hell would she do that?
She paid him to go after me, but Griff was in the way, so he went for him.
After you? But that, what?
Realization struck, chilled her blood so some of it drained out of her face.
Because I kicked her out of here.
It's not on you, Granny, and it's not on me. It's not on either of us. Any of us.
God knows she's spoiled as rotten fruit and always had a bright streak of mean in her. But I'd never have expected her to try something like this.
She gave Arlo 1,000 down, with 1,000 more when it was done. Viola nodded. The color that came back into her face was high and hot.
Is she arrested?
They've got her at the station house talking about it.
They don't lock her up. I'm going to know why.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be ugly, that's certain. And everybody might as well know the rest. I went up to the big house and I punched her in the face. I just saw red and punched her, knocked her flat. I'd do it again if I could. More gasps, even as Viola grinned. She leaned over, gave Shelby a hard hug.
That's my girl.
I wish I'd seen you do it,
Maybelline folded her arms.
It's not Christian to say so, but I wish I'd seen you do it and taken a picture with my phone. Aunt Patty says she gets hoity-toity and orders her around something fierce when Miss Piedmont's not around.
Laurelie nodded sagely.
So I wish I'd seen it too, but I'd have taken a video.
She walked over, gave Shelby a hug.
So don't you fret about it, Shelby. I know more people than I can count who'd have paid good money to see you knock that girl on her second runner-up's ass. Right, Miss Vi?
Couldn't be righter, Laurelie.
I won't fret. She patted Laurelie's hand. But I'm going to start work early, if that's okay. Deal with towels and supplies and such. Clear my head some.
You go on.
Crystal waited until Shelby went in the back.
What do you suppose Mrs. Piedmont's going to do about all this?
I guess we'll wait and see.
They didn't have to wait long. In the mid-afternoon lull, when stay-at-home mothers picked up their kids from school or greeted them at the door, before those who worked outside the home could run in for an after-work cut and color or massage, Florence Piedmont stepped into Vi's. Once again, the salon hushed like a church. Florence, all dignity in a navy blue dress and sensible shoes, nodded at Shelby, who manned the front counter, then Viola.
Viola, do you have a few minutes to speak with me? Privately, you and Shelby.
Of course we do. Shelby, do we have anyone in the relaxation room?
We shouldn't have. We have 3 coming in for treatments in about an hour and 2 in treatments right now.
That's fine, then. We'll go on back here, Florence, where it's nice and quiet. Crystal, when my 3:30 comes in, you set her up with a magazine.
I appreciate the time, Viola.
You'd make it for me.
Viola led the way back through the locker area.
We've known each other a lot of years.
We have. A lot of years. How is your mama, Vi?
Feisty as ever. And has yours.
Slowing down some, but she dearly loves living in Florida. My brother Samuel looks in on her every day.
He always had a sweetheart. You have a seat now.
Thank you, Vi. I could use one. I'll tell the truth and say I'm tired to the bone.
We have some nice peach tea, Mrs. Piedmont. Hot or cold, Shelby added.
Could I get you some? I would love some hot peach tea, thank you, if it's no trouble.
Not a bit. Granny?
That'd be nice, darling. Thank you. This is a lovely room, Viola. So peaceful and calm, and you always had a clever mind and a way of turning what worked in it into something fine.
That's a nice thing to hear. Everybody needs somewhere peaceful and calm now and again.
We could all use more of it, to my mind. What color paint have you got on these walls?
It's called Twilight Gold. Pretty name.
It is. Peaceful,
she said again, like a sigh.
Viola, Shelby, I'm going to start by saying I'm going to speak to Griffin Lott when I leave here. But I wanted to speak to the two of you first. I should have asked if Ada May could take a minute.
She's doing a facial. It's all right, Flo. We'll tell her what you want to say to her.
I want to apologize to all of you. To your daddy, too, Shelby. Your daughter. Your brothers. To Jackson, Viola.
Mrs. Piedmont, ma'am, you don't have anything to apologize for.
I ask you to accept an apology from me.
Of course. Shelby carried over the tea in its pretty cups.
Thank you. Would you sit, too? I've just come from the police station. Melody has admitted to going to Arlo Cattery, to giving him money to cause you trouble, Shelby. I'm not sure she'd have admitted it this soon, but they had three people already who saw her driving up to his trailer in the holler. And though it pains me to say it, I wouldn't get her a lawyer until she told the truth.
Saying nothing, Viola just reached out, took Florence's hand.
I don't know what she thought would happen, or why she'd do something so mean, so reckless. I don't know why she's always been so jealous of you, Shelby. When you were voted head cheerleader back in high school, she had hysterics, begged me to make a big donation to the athletic department if they'd take you down, put her up. And when you were homecoming queen over her, she came home and cut her dress to ribbons.
Florence sighed.
She's angry most of the time, it seems. I'd hoped by putting her in charge of the Artful Ridge, having her live in the carriage house, she'd be happier, start being more responsible. But I know. I see now. I indulged her too much all along, and her mama did even more. She's my grandchild, my first granddaughter, and I love her.
Of course you do.
I overlooked too much over the years, but I won't overlook this. She caused someone true harm, and it could have been much worse. She did it for spite. She'll pay a price for that spite. I have no right to ask, and none to expect, but she's my granddaughter, so I will ask. The sheriff indicated if you and Griffin Lott are amenable, if you agree, instead of going to jail...
For the first time, Florence's hand shook, so she set the teacup down carefully in its saucer.
She could serve 6 months in a rehabilitation center, a private one where she would have therapy for her various issues. She would be required to work there. Chores, I suppose. Cleaning, gardening, laundry, that sort of thing. Then, if deemed ready, she would serve another 6 months community service in a halfway house, with a year's probation to follow that. I won't pretend it's prison,
Florence continued,
but she would be restricted, get therapy I feel she desperately needs, and be required to follow set rules. She would lose her freedom, and that's a kind of prison. And if she refuses to abide by the terms, the rules, then she would face prison. Her mother will try to fight me on this, but her father... I've already spoken to my son-in-law. We spoke at some length, and he will back me on this.
Steadier, Florence picked up her tea again.
It's your granddaughter and mine, Vi. Who would have thought we'd come here?
Once again, Viola took her hand.
Life's full of hard bumps and slick twists. We do the best we can to drive it, start to finish. Some days best isn't near to good enough.
You'll want time to think about this, Shelby.
It's not that. It's Griff she hurt, or hurt through what Arlo did.
It's you she meant to.
All I want, I swear to you, Mrs. Piedmont, is for her to leave me and mine alone. I have a child to think of. I have a life to try to rebuild with my little girl, and I just want Melody to leave us be. If Griffin's all right with what you said, I would be. He's the one who ended up being hurt, whatever she meant.
I'll speak to him, and we'll all abide by his decision. I'm sick at heart he was hurt this way, that someone in my family would have caused it. I wonder, Viola, if you know from Jackson how much damage there is to the boy's truck.
What Jackson told me just a bit ago on the phone? It's a loss.
Oh, Granny.
Well, most anything can be fixed, but Jack says it wouldn't be fixed right enough and expects the insurance company to agree and total it out.
I'll make it right. You have my word on it.
I never had any doubt on that, Flo.
I know you're both busy, and I thank you so much for taking this time and for your understanding, for your kindness.
I'm going to walk you out, Viola said, sliding an arm around Florence's waist as they both rose. And I'm going to give you a brochure, so you can think about coming back for a nice hot stone massage or a Restore Youth facial.
Shelby heard Florence laugh as they walked out.
It's a late hour for restoring youth, isn't it, Viola?
It's never too late an hour, Flo. Never too late an hour.
It seemed to Shelby the best thing to do was keep her head down and take each day as it came. She'd been far too much front and center on the gossip stage since her return to the Ridge. Experience told her some other news or interest would come along soon enough. She felt just fine being front and center Friday night, performing doo-wop and rock and 50s ballads. The crowd seemed to feel just fine about it, too, and nobody got shot. And since Callie was having a sleepover at Granny's, topping Friday night off in Griff's bed felt even more than fine. Before and after her Saturday job, she hit her spreadsheet hard, meticulously paying bills, doing careful math, and shaking her clasped hands at the ceiling when she paid off another credit card. 3 down, 9 to go. Straight after Sunday breakfast, she stood at the stove frying up chicken and listening to Callie squeal with delight while she played with the much-loved bubble maker. Ada Mae came in, hugged Shelby from behind.
That's the best sound in the world.
I know it. She's so happy, Mama, it turns my heart inside out.
And how about you?
I'm about as happy as a little girl with a bubble machine.
You were in fine voice Friday night, baby girl, and so pretty up there in that blue dress.
I'm going to have fun with the 60s. I've been playing around some for next week. Tansy told me they're going ahead for sure with that expansion. That'll be exciting.
Good thing Griff and Matt are all but done here. I love my new bathroom like Callie loves her bubble maker.
To demonstrate, Ada Mae did a neat pirouette and had Shelby grinning.
They're handy men. A handy man's worth his weight in gold. You must have had a nice time after.
Heat rose up the back of Shelby's neck.
I did. Mama, you didn't wait up, did you? It's not a matter of waiting up. You have a child under your roof, whether she's 14 or 40. You hear that car pull up the drive. And don't even think about saying you're sorry. It put a smile on my face thinking about you being with a good man. He puts a smile on your face, too.
She knew just where her mother was going.
He does.
I can admit I didn't see myself having a nice time with any man for a long time yet. As it is, it's a pretty surprise. Still, I can't think past next week. Not yet. That's all right. You take your time. Give him a good test drive.
Mama, you think your generation invented sex? And you're doing the 60s next week?
That generation likely figured the same. Speaking of test driving, I heard Florence Piedmont bought Griff a new truck.
He said she wouldn't take no. Turned it around so it felt like he'd be insulting her if he refused. Grandpa's going to strip the wrecked one for parts, and Griff's having the new truck painted with the logo.
She paused as she drained some of the chicken.
Did we do the right thing, Mama? letting Melody get off with going to that rehabilitation center, anger management therapy and the like. Next thing to a country club, I expect, and that just chafes my thighs. But down under it, I think it was the right thing. I don't know if she'll be coming back here, at least not for some time. I do know Miss Florence isn't holding her job.
Oh.
And I expect you could have that job if you wanted it.
No. I think I like just how things are. I like working at Granny's. I like the girls and the work and the customers. I like knowing if something came up, nobody'd be upset if I had to take off to deal with it. And I do know, for certain, I wouldn't want Melody's old office, her old job, her old anything. Just bad juju. You know what I mean, Mama?
I do. You've got your granny's hand with fried chicken, girl. If you don't want to look past next week yet, you'd better be careful. Chicken like that could drive a man to propose marriage.
I think I'm safe there. And safe, Shelby thought, was where she needed to be. At noon, when Griff pulled up in his rental truck, she had the hamper loaded and ready, and Callie in her yellow dress with a ribbon in her hair. She'd opted for jeans and her old hiking boots. Callie rushed out before Griff got to the door and launched herself at him.
You look like a picnic, Little Red.
I got a bow.
Callie reached back to where the yellow ribbon trailed.
I see that. Pretty as they come, and so's your mom. Here, let me take that.
You've already got her. We'll take my van, since I know where we're going. I've got the blankets in there already.
I've just got to get a couple things out of the truck.
He strapped Callie in her car seat. Expertly, Shelby noted.
You didn't have to show the man something twice.
He walked to his rental truck, came back with a tote bag.
Contributions, he said,
and put them in the van with the hamper.
I'm hoping this spot is as pretty as I remember. It's been a while.
She drove toward town, then veered off on a back road, just skimming by the holler while Callie chattered like a magpie. As she took the rise, navigated the switchbacks, it all came back to her. The sights, the smells, the color. Winding through the greens, the browns, yellow trillium and crested iris splashed, while the delicate trumpets of columbine played in dappled sunlight. There, or there, mountain laurel brightened the shadows, and ladies' slippers danced.
Pretty. It's pretty country, Griff said, when Callie shifted to conversation with the ever-present Fifi.
It won't be long till the wild rhododendrons pop out. I just love the green of it. The endless rising green of it, and how the color from wildflowers comes and goes.
She passed a little farmhouse where a boy about Callie's age rolled on the scrubby grass with a yellow dog.
See the puppy? Mama, when can I have a puppy?
Her newest obsession, Shelby said under her breath.
Once we get our own house, we'll think about that. We're almost to our picnic spot, she added, hoping to block the litany of follow-up questions.
She turned onto a narrow dirt road, bumped carefully along it.
This belongs to that little farm we just passed. Daddy's delivered 3 babies in that house, might be more now since I've been gone, and made house calls for the grandmother until she passed. The family lets us use this road and have picnics or hike back here. They set great store by my daddy.
So do I, since he cleared me to work.
Your eyes looking some better.
I kissed it better, Mama, when I had my pizza date with Griff. Are we there yet?
We're as far as we can drive. She angled into the pull-off. It's not very far to walk, about a quarter mile. It's a little steep, though, and likely a little rough.
We're up for it.
He settled the logistics by hauling Callie up on his shoulders, taking the hamper.
Bag and blankets for you, he told Shelby. It's so quiet here.
He spotted a bold red cardinal watching them from a perch on a hawthorn tree.
That's not even the best part.
Nobody's going to come out with a shotgun?
I asked Daddy to check if it was okay, and the family's fine about it. We leave the land as we found it, that's all. Though they might have discouraged revenuers that way back in the Prohibition days.
Plenty ran whiskey out of the hills and the hollers. My people among them, both sides.
Bootleggers.
It made him grin.
It'd be hard to find a handful of people with native roots who didn't have bootleggers on the family tree.
It was a dumbass law.
Dumbass,
Callie repeated, predictably.
Sorry.
It's not the first time. That's a grown-up word, Callie.
I like grown-up words.
When she screamed, Griff shoved the hamper at Shelby, started to whip Callie down.
A bunny! I saw a bunny rabbit!
Jesus, jeez, Griff corrected. You scared the heck out of me, little Red.
Catch the bunny rabbit, Griff! Catch it!
I didn't bring my bunny rabbit catching tools.
With his heart still hammering, he took the hamper back, continued the climb. When he topped the rise, he saw every step of the climb had been worth it.
Okay. Wow.
It's just like I remembered. The stream, the trees, especially that big old black walnut. And just enough opening up so you can see some of the hills and valleys.
You're in charge of all the picnic spots from this day forward.
Hard to top this one, unless it's at your place.
When he put Callie down, she bulleted straight for the stream. Callie, don't go close to the edge, Shelby began, but Griff grabbed her hand and pulled her to the stream.
Cool.
He crouched down beside Callie.
Look at all the little waterfalls, the shiny rocks.
I wanna go swimming.
It's not deep enough for swimming, baby, but you can take your shoes and socks off, put your feet in. You can go wading.
Kay, I can't go wading, Griff.
Callie plopped down, attacked her shoes while Shelby spread blankets beside the stream, with its tumbling water, mossy logs, thickening ferns.
Not worried about her getting the dress wet?
Griff asked. I've got a change for her in the bag. I'd like to know a little girl who wouldn't want to splash in this stream.
You're a pretty cool mom.
While Callie stepped in to splash and squeal, Griff pulled the bottle, wrapped in its frozen cozy, out of his bag.
Champagne?
After a surprised laugh, Shelby shook her head. That's going to put my fried chicken to shame.
I'll be the judge of that.
She drank champagne, had the satisfaction of seeing Griff devour her chicken. She let Callie run off some energy chasing butterflies or going back for another splash. And relaxed as she realized she hadn't, not really, since the morning she'd faced Arlo Cattery with bars between them. And he'd have that view, she thought, through bars, for a long, long time. But she had this, the green and the blue, the chirp and twitter of birds, the sun streaming through the trees to play shadows on the ground as her little girl played in the stream.
You're definitely hired,
Griff told her when he went back for another piece of chicken, another scoop of potato salad.
Sitting here, it seems like nothing's wrong in the world.
That's why we need places like this.
She reached out, trailed her fingers over the healing cut on his forehead.
Forrest said they still haven't caught that Harlow person, and it makes me think he did what he came to do and he's long gone from here.
Makes the most sense.
Then why'd you follow me home at 2 a.m. on Friday night?
Because that makes sense to me too. When are you going to let me follow you home again?
Oh, she'd just been hoping he'd ask. I guess I could see if Mama's okay watching Callie one night this week.
Why don't we go to the movies, then back to my place for a while?
She smiled, thinking she had this, too. A movie date with a man who made her belly flutter.
Why don't we? Callie, if you don't eat your picnic lunch, there won't be a cupcake in your future.
Shelby marked it as a perfect Sunday afternoon, and driving back with Callie fighting sleep in the back, wondered how she could prolong it. Maybe she'd see if Griff wanted to sit out on the porch while Callie napped. Or she could see if Emma, Kate, and Matt wanted to come over, and they could do up some burgers on the grill for supper later.
I guess you've got things to do at your house.
There's never a lack of things to do at my place. Why? Do you have something else in mind?
I was thinking if you wanted to stay a while, I'd see if Emma, Kate, and Matt wanted to come by later on. Have some wine and grill some burgers.
More food? How could I say no?
I'll see if it's all right with Mama and Daddy, then.
She trailed off as she pulled up to the house, saw her mother already running out.
Oh, God, what could have happened now?
She shoved out of the van.
Mama, I was just about to text you. Gilly went into labor.
Oh, just now?
It's been a few hours, but they didn't say until they were heading into the hospital. Daddy, my daddy's got Jackson already. Daddy, your daddy, and I are heading into Gatlinburg to the hospital right now, and Forrest is bringing your granny. Clay says she's moving fast. Oh, I don't know why babies always put me in a tailspin.
It's exciting, and it's happy.
You should go, Griff said. You should be there.
Oh, I don't want to put two preschoolers on my grandfather on his own.
I'll take her. I've got Callie.
Oh, well, I
want to go with Griff. Please, Mama, please. Griff, I want to go to your house. Can I go to your house and play?
That would be the nicest thing, Ada May said. Shelby couldn't be here when Jackson was born. It would sure mean a lot to us, Griff.
Done.
Yay! Yay!
Shelby looked at her daughter's shining face. But it could be ours.
Not if Clay's any judge. Clayton, you come on now,
Ada May shouted.
I'm not going to miss my grandbaby's birth because you're dawdling. Griff, thank you so much. Callie, you be good for Griff now, or I'll know the reason why. Clayton Zachariah Pomeroy!
Ada May marched back toward the house.
Are you sure? Because...
We're sure. Right, Callie?
Right. Let's go, Griff.
Thrilled, she rubbed both her hands over his cheeks.
Let's go to your house now.
Let me just
think what to do, Shelby mused. I'll just run in, get some things for her to play with.
I've got scissors and sticks for her to run with, and all those matches.
Aren't you the funny one? Give me 2 minutes. And, well, you'd better just take my van in case you have to go somewhere with her, if I can borrow this truck.
It's a rental. What do I care?
All right, then. All right. 2 minutes. No, it'll take me 5. 5 minutes.
She raced toward the house as her mother came out dragging her father.
Ada May, I'm a doctor, and I'm telling you there's plenty of time.
Oh, don't doctor me. You tell me about plenty of time when you've given birth. We're going, Shelby.
I'll be behind you in 5 minutes. I know how to get there. Griff leaned back against the van beside Callie's window.
We're going to have some fun, Little Red.
20. They did have fun. Griff fashioned a monster face out of cardboard and, donning it, chased a thrilled Callie around the front yard. She brought him down with the magic wand he cobbled together from some tubing and more cardboard. As the restored prince, he answered the first text from Shelby.
At the hospital now. Everything's going well. Okay there?
He considered for a moment.
We're great. We're heading out now to find some traffic to play in.
He took Callie in for a Coke, and, judged by her wide, shiny eyes, Coke wasn't something on her usual beverage menu. It took a solid half hour to run off her Coke high. Breathless and wiser, he loaded the kid back in the van and took her for a quick drive for a pack of juice boxes. That had to be a better option. He spotted the sign Pups for Sale, decided a stop there would entertain her for a while, and pulled up in front of the compact rancher next to the little market. Following the arrow on the sign, he took the gravel path around the back. In a kennel, clean and dry, 3 cream-colored pups and 1 brown pup came instantly to life, yipping, racing toward the fencing, wagging chubby bodies. Callie didn't squeal and rush toward them as he'd expected. She gasped, then pressed both hands to her mouth. Then she turned her head, tipped her face up to Griff's, and her eyes were full of wonder and love and immeasurable joy. He thought, oh shit, what have I done? Then she threw her arms around his legs, squeezed.
Puppies! I love you, Griff! Thank you! Thank you!
Well, listen, I thought we'd just...
While he fumbled, she tipped her face up again, all but blinded him with her shining joy, before she broke off to at last rush the fence. A woman, a baby on her hip, a red kerchief tied around her hair, stepped out of the back door of the rancher.
"Afternoon,"
she said while the baby eyed him suspiciously.
"Hey, we were just at the market and I thought she'd get a kick out of seeing the pups."
"Why, sure. You want to go in, honey? They're as friendly as they can be. 3 months old now."
She continued as she opened the gate for Callie.
"Had a litter of 8. Mama's our lab retriever mix, Georgie, and the daddy's my cousin's chocolate lab."
Callie ran in, dropped, and was immediately buried in puppies.
"That's a happy sound, isn't it?"
the woman said as Callie's giggles mixed with the yips and fake growls.
"Yeah, but..."
"They're a good mix with kids, Daddy,"
she said with a smile as she juggled the baby.
"Gentle and loyal and playful."
"Oh, I'm not her father. Her mother's sister-in-law's having a baby pretty much now, so I'm watching Callie for a while."
"Griff! Griff, come see! Come see the puppies!"
"Yeah, okay."
"You go on, take your time. She's got a good way with them. Lots of kids her age want to pull tails or ears or cart a pup around in a chokehold, but it looks like she knows how to be gentle and playful. They're going to go fast now,"
she added, as the baby decided Griff passed muster and offered a wide, drooling grin.
"I just put the sign up this morning. The first 4 were already spoken for. I don't sell them till they're full weaned, had their shots, and the vet clears them."
Not really. I mean, I thought about getting a dog. Later. Once I've got my place more under control."
The woman narrowed her eyes.
"You're the one bought the old Triplehorn place. The one who works with Emma Kate's boyfriend. Emma Kate and Doc Pomeroy delivered Lucas here right in the exam room at the clinic. I went in for my checkup and he got in a powerful hurry then and there. Wasn't time to head to the hospital. Is that Shelby Pomeroy's little girl?"
"Yeah."
"I should have figured from the hair. You decide you want one of the pups, I'll do half price, seeing as the little girl's granddaddy and your partner's lady helped bring my boy into the world."
"Oh, well, that's..."
"Griff, come play with the puppies."
"You go on. I'll be around."
He took the brown dog. He drew the line at Callie's helpful name suggestions. He would not name his dog Fifi in honor of her best stuffed friend, or Donkey in honor of Shrek's best pal. He hit on Snickers because of the chocolate, then had to go back to the market and buy one so Callie got the connection. He had to buy puppy food, a dish, a leash, a collar, dog treats. By the time they loaded up again, with the puppy exploring the cab of the truck, Griff's ears were ringing. Shelby's next text came through as he lifted Callie out of the van, and she and the pup took off running.
"Gilly's doing great. She'll be pushing soon. Nearly there. Let me know how it's going if you're done playing in traffic."
He started to text about the puppy, even though it all felt a little bit like a dream, then opted against.
"Playing in traffic made us hungry. We want a snack, so we're going to hunt up strangers with candy. Go, Gilly."
Babies come in their own time, and Beau Sawyer Pomeroy came into the world at 7:11, a lucky hour according to his daddy, at a healthy 7 pounds and 12 ounces. Shelby took time to admire him, the spitting image of her brother, dig out more tissues for her mother, and hug the proud parents. She sent another quick text. "It's a boy. Beau Sawyer's beautiful, Mama and Daddy happy and well. On my way back soon." By the time she managed to say all her goodbyes and navigate traffic out of Gatlinburg, the sun sat low. She considered stopping to text again, see if Griff wanted her to pick up any food, but decided surely they'd eaten something by now. She pulled up beside her van, thought, what a day. When no one answered her knock, she had a moment of concern, ordered it away. Easing the door open, she called out, then cocked her ear at the familiar sounds. Shrek. Shaking her head, she started back toward the great room. Shrek and Donkey argued on the big screen. On the sofa, her little girl lay sprawled over Griff. Both of them were sound asleep. She nearly screamed when something wet and cold hit her ankle. Looking down, she saw a fat brown puppy who immediately attached its teeth and interest to the laces of her hiking boots.
Oh, no, you don't.
She picked up the pup, gave it a long look.
Just where did you come from?
Right down the road, Griff said,
opening sleepy eyes. Whose dog is it?
I guess it's my dog. It just sort of happened. Snickers.
I'm sorry, what?
His name. Snickers. Chocolate lab golden retriever mix.
He couldn't be cuter. Amused, charmed, she cuddled the pup in while he lapped lovingly at her chin.
Did you look at the size of his feet?
No, not especially. You're going to have one big dog here.
She smiled as Snickers switched to her cheek, wiggled happily in her arms.
Which one wore you out, Callie or the dog?
I think we wore each other out. Baby world okay?
It's perfect. Beau Sawyer, if you didn't get my last text. Healthy, beautiful, and the family's all beaming.